Good morning. Happy autumn, happy fall. The gold and red and brown has begun to change all around us. Even the time is about to change. Man, they change Wednesday nights. Today, I'd like us to change our minds about what it means to share the reason for our hope. So today, we're beginning an evangelism series. And before you slink back in your chair and you're like, oh no, I'm not exuberant and excitable like Nick. You know, I don't have a big fancy suit and Billy Graham and all these people who used to be around. You know, I can't do that. I thought to myself, even exuberant Nick has thought, like, I can't do that, you know? We're going to find out that sharing our faith is actually really simple. You've been thinking about it, unbeknownst to you, for the last 5 weeks. We just finished a Kingdom Fruitfulness series. What is Kingdom Fruitfulness? Pastor John, myself, we've been talking about what God's been doing in you and for you and through you. How to be successful in your kingdom calling and your destiny and who he made you to be. That's what we're excited to share. We're talking about validation, how God initiates us through his validating love. All we're going to talk about is how to share that with people around us. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to open our minds to this topic, the idea of sharing our faith, quote-unquote, evangelism. And I ask you to anoint us to receive excitement about a new way in Jesus' name. So, good morning, good morning. Before we get started here, if you could take your sheet that we passed out to you and turn it over. And if you were looking at the back and you folded it in half, I want to talk first about this bottom half of the back, starting with Colossians 4, 2 through 6. So when we're talking about evangelism, Paul wrote a letter to a church in Colossae, which is Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. He said to them, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. He was in jail in Rome at the time when he wrote this letter. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly or boldly as I should. Now for you, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. There's something really neat in this scripture that changed my mind about what evangelism is. There's actually, according to Paul, there's two kinds of sharing your faith. So if you look down here, type of minister, the priorities, and the spoken ministry. So first of all, you've got the gifted evangelists. You've got crazy people like me telling everyone what I believe. You know, you've got that annoying friend on Facebook who's like messaging everyone and like starting fights. Back in the day, we had Amy Semple who went to a street corner and got like a milk carton and just stood on it and just started preaching the gospel. Wow. So my brain thinks, I can't do that. If that's evangelism, I don't even know where I'd get a milk carton. Do they make those boxes anymore that the milk comes in? Because you need a milk carton, you know? And then everyone's at home and on their phone, so would anyone even come to downtown if I stood on the corner in Fairmont, you know? I don't know. So instead of thinking, how can I be like Amy Semple or how can I be like Billy Graham, you see, Paul was talking about these career ministers. The Bible talks about a fivefold ministry. These five different anointings that God puts on some of us to lead his people. Prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, which is like a shepherd. And lastly, apostles who build and go first. So there's this career minister. Paul's talking about himself. He's talking about Timothy. He goes, pray for us, right? That we could proclaim this clearly. So for gifted evangelists, there's clarity in the gospel. There's alertness for opportunities, and the way it manifests is through bold proclamation. And again, I got great news for you. If you're not super excited about going out to the middle of your workplace and standing on your chair, exclamation, and would say, I don't have to. Pastor, don't say that. Now, the rest of us are down below. Everyone else is down below. It says evangelistic believers, people who are in love with Jesus, the living Christ, the beautiful outlaw, the one who breaks all the rules, goes after us, leaves the 99, forsakes and hates religion, changed our life, loves us when we're screwed up, loves us again when we screw up again, forgives us, gives us what we don't deserve, doesn't give us what we do deserve. Yeah, I love that guy. So the rest of us, we get to have prayer, watchfulness, wise socializing. And the way the spoken ministry for the rest of us is actually gracious answers. Gracious answers. So if you're thinking, I don't really want to do a bunch of bold proclamation, you're in luck. You don't have to. Praise God. So you're already feeling better. See, let's loosen up. Oh, okay, maybe I will listen to this guy today. Praise God. So let's turn it over and we'll start at the beginning. Now that we understand there's two concepts in the Bible about evangelism, let's dive deeper into your part, all right? So how many of you know that I'm a Bible nerd? Raise your hand. A Bible nerd. So Paul, guess what? Paul got murdered. We call it martyred, but martyred sounds really cool because then you're celebrated on like All Saints Day or something. No, he got murdered for Jesus, all right? It didn't go so well. Actually, it went great, but our great and world's great aren't the same. So Paul gets murdered for his faith, and now Peter kind of stands up as the de facto head of the church. Peter's now the kind of father in the faith to all these places in modern-day Turkey, Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Yeah, Philippi. And so, Galatia. So these four little towns that Paul was, and cities that Paul was writing to, their guy is dead. He's gone. Like, it's so easy to forget these letters and their context. So Peter, 1 Peter, is written to these churches. Okay, Nero came to power in Rome. All of a sudden, the government and everyone around them has really turned up the pressure against the Christians. Anybody relate? Oh, it's not as popular as it was 40 years ago to love Jesus anymore. We learned a few weeks ago that's actually a good thing. The church gets lazy and actually starts dying when it's considered okay. But under persecution, we grow. Under suffering, we grow. Here, the church was under persecution. Paul's dead, their favorite guy. Peter stands up and says, you know what? I'm going to write to these churches. So he writes to Colossae. He writes to this group. Peter's now loving on them a few years later with a letter so that he can carry on this beautiful ministry to them. And this happened just a few years before Peter got murdered for Jesus, or martyred, as we say. So at the top of your page, 1 Peter 3:15-16, Peter takes up right where Paul left off. Look at this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Remember earlier we talked about gracious answers? All you have to do is have a gracious answer prepared. Here's Peter kind of reiterating that same thing. He even says, if you're on Facebook fighting with people, this is your verse right here. Do this with gentleness and respect. Oh, crap. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I get to tell Frank to stop writing all that nasty Christian stuff on Facebook. Hey, you got to be gentle, respectful, and give an answer for the reason for your hope. Not assault everyone and judge everyone and attack everyone, right? All right, praise God. So I repent for Facebook. No, I'm just kidding. So it's really important. Point number one is an interesting takeaway here. You get to live a questionable life. Favorite part. You get to live a questionable life. You revere Christ as Lord. That's weird. When you don't know God, that's weird. You're a weirdo.
you should look, feel, smell a little different to the worldlings. They should kind of look and go, I don't know about you. You seem a little strange. We all lost our job, but you seemed okay. Or your wife left you and you made it through. Like, we should be different. We get to live a questionable life. If you aren't doing anything different than the people around you at work or at school or at the homeless shelter or in your neighborhood, if you look exactly like them and you're caught up in chasing the same things and you're sad about the same things, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I want you guys, God wants you to be different. Be questionable. People ask us, why'd you adopt Titus? Why'd you move to West Virginia? Why is Emmy always loving on people who have no voice in the community? Why are you so generous? Why are you unshaken? They should question you. Now remember, crazy people like me or Pastor John or whoever, Laurie, we get to go out there. We're going to boldly proclaim the faith. You can pray for us. We'd love your prayers. But you all don't even have to proactively tell everyone about Jesus. Whoa, I never knew that. You just get to live different. Revere Christ as Lord. Revere Christ as Lord. Let it infiltrate your life, how you think, how you talk, how you act, so that you'll be ready when they ask you, why are you different? It's interesting. We don't realize how much people are watching us, right? Because when they really go through something, everybody knows. They know you're a Christian. They're not going to talk to you about it most days. But when their dad dies, you're the one they'll say, hey, here's what they'll say. Will you pray for me? I know you. I think you're a believer, right? Yeah. Well, just so you know, my dad just died or my wife just left me. I'm really struggling. Again, they've got their bravado. They seem just fine. All 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. Year number 9, they'll say, Ted, you're one of those Christians, huh? Yeah. Will you pray for me? So, live a questionable life. That's awesome. Remind me when my children start being crazy and they're 18 and 19 and 20 and going around the world and I'm all freaked out. You told them, live a questionable life. I'll be like, but I didn't. Oh, man. Okay. So praise God. So what makes you different? A good friend of mine, her husband is a machinist. Does everyone remember Pastor Ray, a machine shop? Makers of these little metal pieces and stuff. So he lives in the central coast of California, my friend Danny. And one day, Danny had just, you know, moved to this area. He'd gotten this great job as a machinist, making parts for this company. He had just stopped renting and bought a house. How many of you have a mortgage? Yep, that's kind of a big commitment. He had like a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And guess what? Everyone gets called into the boss's office. Sorry, guys. This machine shop is closing. Today's your last day. What? I got young kids. I just bought a mortgage, man. Like, could you have told me 3 months ago? Before, like, 3 or 4 months ago. We could have been renting, could have packed up and moved somewhere else. Because this area wasn't known for having a lot of machine shops. There wasn't a ton of industry there. So it wasn't like, no prob, I'll just use my skills down the street at the other machine shop. No. Okay? The end of the day, everyone packs up. Danny is beside himself. This is a big deal. So what does he do? Danny is questionable. He reveres Christ as Lord. The best part about Danny, total opposite of me. Slow and steady, gentle, quiet, relaxed, sane. But even Danny, who reveres Christ as Lord, does something crazy in this moment. Crazy to the brain without God. Everyone leaves this machine shop. He's cleaned it up. He's tearing down for the night. And he gets on his knees and he prays to the living God. Says, I don't know, but I need you to show up and do something for me. I can't lose everything. I can't pack up and leave. I need you to provide a new job for me. I need you to do a miracle for me. Whoa! Imagine if one of his buddies from work had seen that, unbeknownst to him, kind of standing in the corner or came back in to grab their coat. And they see Danny being weird, right? They would question him, right? They'd say, why did you do that? By the way, the next day, a friend of his, a man that he had known through work, an investor, said, you know what? The next day, we should probably make our own machine shop. And if I bring all the money, would you be willing to run it for me? And you know, let's just be 50-50 partners. Even though you don't have any money, why don't you just, you be the sweat equity and I'll just be the money. And oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. And it's a testimony to this day that he reveres Christ as Lord. He's questionable. He does things differently. And again, with gracious answers, quietly, respectfully, with sanity. He's not all crazy like Nick. Okay, that's the best part. You don't have to be crazy. So look at this down below in italics. How are you different? Who are you or who will you be so that you are distinguished or different from the unbelievers around you? You can ask a loved one or a friend, you know, what do you think sets me out in who I am in Christ? Some people just have a gift of joy. You know, Kelly just looks at me, I just want to smile, I just want to dance in the streets. She's got this joy. She's just got joy. It's part of who God made her to be. Look at that. She can't even stop smiling. Come on. So ask a loved one, you know, why am I different? How do you see me? Because it's hard for us to see ourselves. We don't always see ourselves clearly. All right? Praise God. So now everyone's ready to be questionable in their own way. Right? I get to be crazy. You get to be questionable. It's really exciting. Point number two, be ready to explain your hope in Christ. Be ready to explain your hope in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. That would be another way to say it. Be prepared. Oh, well, how are you going to prepare? The other day, I was caught off guard. About 6 weeks ago, I was caught off guard. I went to lunch with someone that I had known through the business world, who I had mentored on business things, and we had talked about business. And I went to lunch with this person, and out of nowhere, they start asking me about God. Now, I was prepared to tell her about Jesus and my love for the Messiah and my hatred for religion. And my love for relationship with the living God. Because once a month, I'm always up here telling you my love for Jesus, my hate for religion, and the glorious relationship with God. So I'm in practice because once a month I tell believers what I believe. In this relaxed setting, we talk about it. And so even though she surprised me and caught me off guard, all of a sudden it all came right out. Because I'm in the practice of saying it all. Now, I think what we need to do to be ready to explain your hope in Christ is tell one of your best friends or your loved one who already knows the Lord why you love Jesus. So if she's already told Roger, you know, I think if I had to boil it down, matter of fact, Pastor Heather, if you had to boil it down, what is one of your favorite things about Jesus and your relationship with God? One or two sentences that you just love about him. She's not prepared. She wasn't prepared. I put her on the spot. Yeah. The non-believer, yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. I'm out in the world. She's a career pastor. She's been 26 years into the church. We're the ones who are out in the world at work or in our neighborhoods. Absolutely. The tender love and mercies of God is her favorite thing about him. Isn't that beautiful? If she got caught off guard, thanks, Pastor, I apologize. If she got caught off guard by her neighbor saying, well, aren't you those God people? You know, why do you believe in Jesus? She might say, well, you might not understand this, but it's his tender love and his mercies to me every morning that I just love. And they would go, right? That would pique their interest. That would be interesting to me. I'd go, And you'd probably feel one of two things. It says that we are the aroma. We are the aroma of Christ, all right? So
To those who are perishing, to those who are rejecting Jesus, we smell like death. They'll feel something like, oh, don't talk to her anymore. And to those who are being saved and drawn to the Lord, we are the aroma of life. Isn't that cool? So, who are the trusted Christians in your life that you can start practicing with, sharing your faith with, the reason for your hope? Now, here's what's really interesting to me. The Bible doesn't say, be ready to explain how they are sinners. Be ready to condemn them to hell on Facebook. And be ready to make them feel horrible so that they could be saved. No, just tell them about your hope. Whose hope? Say, my hope. My hope. My hope. Well, you know, my dad has a beautiful testimony. If you asked my father, why did you come to Jesus? What do you love about Jesus? He was some wild, crazy hippie man. You think I'm crazy? Woo! You should have met my dad, 25, 30 years old. Someone told him, after all the awful things he did, to all of the awful people that he did it to, after all of the embarrassment and shame he brought his family, someone told him that God would see him through the lens of the cross, and that instantly he'd be perfect again. Why do you have hope, John Haywood? Because every stupid thing I did is gone. He doesn't have to say, because you do stupid things too, right? It's not about that. Be ready to explain your hope in Christ. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. So find someone you can practice with so that you don't put your mother-in-law at on guard in front of everybody. I love you, Mom. What? It's simple, right? What is one of your favorite things about God? What's one of your favorite things about God? Mine is he lets me be crazy. So that's my favorite thing about him. Just kidding. That he made me crazy. Point number three. This is so important, you guys. You're going to live a questionable life. You're going to be ready to explain your hope. Not explaining transfiguration or nothing else. You're just going to be ready to explain your hope, your favorite thing about God. But to do that, it's never going to happen unless you do point number three. Eat, live, and play with everyone. We've talked about this before. Maybe I see it through the lens of my upbringing, so I'll just use myself as an example. We hung out with Christians and went to Christian events. And like when you were trick-or-treating, we did like these Christian events, like Fall Harvest Festival and stuff. And when you went to like regular movies, we went to like Christian movies. And we listened to Amy Grant, and that was real controversial. You know it's bad if Amy Grant's controversial, okay? She was like a good singer that decided to also release her album to people who didn't already know Jesus. What am I saying? Well, for the first 20 years of my life, I didn't really eat, live, or play with everyone. I ate, lived, or played with everyone who already knew Jesus. So no one was ever asking me about my questionable life. Now, there's an asterisk here on your paper. If you're new to the Lord, okay, if you need some time away from all that, please hear me. I'm not telling you to rush back to your old friends that 3 weeks ago were selling you drugs. Okay? That's not a good idea. It's a bad idea. And then we'll be praying again. And it's going to suck. So let's not do that. You'll know. Ask a loved one. Ask your pastor. You'll know when you're ready. Could be a few months, a few years. Okay? There's a lot of us in the room who aren't in this raw, vulnerable place with our past and our past sins. Okay? A lot of us can go see a regular movie or go to a restaurant with someone who doesn't know Jesus or hang out at their house and we're going to be okay. All right? I'm talking to those of you who are no longer babies, but now you're toddlers. Okay? Because that's about as old as we get in the Lord before he takes us. There's really no 30-year-old in Christ. So toddlers, those of us who are kind of still stumbling around, we're up and we're walking, all right? And you can handle being with some of these people who aren't like you. Good. Now be you and revere Christ as Lord and be ready to give a gracious answer. Let's say gracious answer. Be ready, right? Be ready. We can't be religious. There's this wonderful verse I found in Paul's letter to the first Corinthians, to the Corinthians, sorry. He said, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world, who of course are immoral. No. In this case, you'd have to leave the world. He's like, I wasn't telling you not to hang out with the world. You never even see anybody anymore. He said, no, I'm talking to you about the people who say they're believers and are living this horrible, crazy, weird life. He said, don't associate with them. Isn't that interesting? I kind of grew up thinking, oh, I can't hang out with Joe. I think he's got 3 girlfriends. Can't hang out with Sally. I'm pretty sure she's doing some really good drugs. I mean, for real. No, you knucklehead. Paul's like, that's not what I meant. I meant if Laurie starts having 3 boyfriends and doing 2 kinds of drugs, we should tell her that this isn't really how it's supposed to be with Jesus. And if she refuses us, we should tell her, you know, maybe this isn't the best room for you. Love you. Peace out. Okay? So again, we have this thing, almost like, I don't know if I can be in the world. I don't know if I can go to a regular movie. You know, I love how very sweet people are like, oh, I took my neighbor to Facing the Giants. Okay, good. Let me know if they liked it. Some people may have. And if they did, praise God. I hang out with a crowd who probably wouldn't watch that film, right? And so I'm going to need to say, do you want to go out to Pies and Pints? Do you want to go see Joker? Now, maybe you can't handle seeing Joker, so don't go see it, okay? But I can. So I'm going to take my guy from work, and I'm going to be controversial, and I'm going to live a questionable life, and he's going to ask me why I'm different. I'm going to say, well, I'm glad you asked. Okay? So say, I will live with everyone so that I can be a light. Thank you, Jesus. So again, evangelism, sharing your faith, is really simple. You don't have to go proactively vomit it all over people. You get to be different, which remember, being different starts with you revering Christ as Lord. For Danny, it manifested on being on his knees in that hardest moment of his life, okay? For Genesee at the Indian food restaurant, she just felt this crazy Nick guy had something he wasn't telling her, and she asked me, and I was ready to tell her about the reason of my faith because I had practiced. So let's get ready. Let's tell your loved one, what's your favorite thing about God? Go ask your wife tonight, what's your favorite thing about God? Go ask your best friend, what's your favorite thing about God? And have them ask it back, right? What do you see in me? How do you think I'm different? How do you think I'm special? Point number 3, who do you need to start hanging out with? It's in italics. Who do you need to start hanging out with that doesn't know the Lord? Isn't that good? What could you invite them to? Or when could you next go to something with them that they care about? I'm not a huge bowling fan, but if I found out that, like, Tony really loves bowling and Tony doesn't know the Lord, maybe I should be like, hey, bro, can I go bowling with you sometime? I'm not that good, but I'd love to go, right? Invading their world, being with them. Learn how to bowl. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the reason why we want to do this, everyone. Not only will this be really, really enriching to you to revere Christ as Lord, but Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they've never heard? How can they hear without someone telling them? And how can anyone tell them unless they go? Blessed are the feet of those who go. Let's be those who go. Guys, I grew up in a time in our nation. Billy Graham was still alive, and a man in California, Greg Laurie. And now Joel Osteen, all right? And I thought when we prayed for revival, when we prayed for people to come back to the Lord, I thought millions of people would come to Jesus like they did in my dad's day in the Jesus movement. Many of us were waiting for that to happen again. How many of you know that God doesn't always do it the same way twice? Hey, Moses, hit this rock and water will come out. Well, later, he didn't want him to hit the rock. Moses did it the exact same way as last time, and God was mad at him. We don't want to do it the same as last time. What if we prayed for the house on our left and the house on our right? And you know that house when you're drinking coffee on the front porch right across from you? What if we pick 3? Or if you don't have a house, you have a house in the country? How about the guy who sits to the left of you at work, the girl who sits to the right, and you know that cube across? How about them too? Or maybe your boss if you really want to get wild. Pray for your boss. You see, what happened was
not as a career minister, but just as a normal guy who would drive in and out of his house, Roger Thrower and Heather, but mostly Roger and Emmy, began praying for their neighbor, their next door neighbor. This young woman had a troubled childhood. This woman didn't know her father very well. This woman started dating as soon as she was legal, maybe before. Older men, motorcycle men, all kinds of crazy men, drinking, staying out all hours of the night. She was empty. She was dead. But because he and Emmy befriended her and prayed for her and sought after her, she came alive and out of the darkness into Jesus Christ. Today, she has a beautiful child. Today, she has a beautiful husband. Today, she serves the Lord because her neighbor, didn't matter he was a pastor, her neighbor told her. Guys, I do math for a living. I'm going to break this down easy. If I have these three people, right house, house across the street, left house, left cube, boss, right cube. If I pray for three people for the next 20 years and I am wildly unsuccessful, only one of them comes to the Lord. We could double the church, the living God's presence on this earth every 20 years. And you know what? Within 100 years, should he tarry, we'd be infiltrating the whole place. It doesn't need to happen millions at a time. It needs to happen one at a time. Don't worry about bold proclamation. Be ready to give a gracious answer. Tell me why you have hope. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you to invade our hearts. We repent for thinking, I can't do evangelism. We repent for thinking, that's just for those career ministers. That's for Joel Osteens and Greg Laurie's and Roger Throwers and Nick Haywood's. I can't do that. Open up our mind to the people you've placed in our life, that you've been working inside of us, that you want us to reach out to. Give us grace, Lord. Give us wisdom, wise socializing with the world, that we're salt. Let us be different. Friends, stand with me if you will. If this isn't already who you are and you want to give your life back to Jesus, if you want him to be your Lord and Savior, or if you just want to come and try out this new life for the first time, come up here and pray with one of us. We'd love to be with you.
I want to mention something just about the nature of the gospel, and it's this, and you probably know, there are many people that say, but I have lived a good life. Why shouldn't God let me into heaven? I have lived a good life. Why shouldn't God live? If he's not good enough to let me in because I've been good, then I think that's a hate crime. Why isn't my goodness good enough? And let's just think of this. Think of the richest man in America. And he has a mansion. Do you think the richest person in America should let you come and live in their house because you've been good? Your personal goodness has nothing to do with getting into that man's house. Now, if you were related, if you had a relationship with that man, you could get in that house. That's and right. God is your creator, and he wants to be your father.
That's right.
But he becomes your father through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's how you get in his house.
That's right.
So let's come forward. Let's come forward and receive the Lord. Let's come forward and let's lift our heads to the Lord just for a moment. Just pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for loving me right where I am. I receive your love in my life. I thank you now that you see me through the lens of Jesus Christ, through the cross, and you see me forgiven. It is my heart's desire to receive all of the forgiveness and to come fully into relationship with you. I praise you for what you have done for me. Let's go ahead and bless him. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Anyone who needs specific prayer, we're here for you. We're going to be dismissing and having a time of fellowship. I think the real strong takeaway that Nick has given to us as far as believers is taking time to find someone that you can say, what is that real specific reason for the hope within you? Let's do that. God bless you. Amen. You're dismissed.